You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You're listening to The Fulham Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish boys. The Fulhamish podcast are in town. Dom Betts, George Cooper and Dara Curran. Did I get that right?
Yep, perfect.
Yes! I won't get it right for any other ad breaks when we come back, but we only start as we mean to
I'd
go
like
on.
I'd like to know how else you try and pronounce it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, is there any other alternative pronunciation?
No, it's not that, but it's nice to ask and make sure, just in case you do pronounce it wrong. I mean, because, you know, Sam's a really difficult name to say.
Yeah, no,
Dave, Ted, John.
I thought you were going to list off the Curran brothers there with Sam Curran and Tom Curran, but no. I don't see how else you would pronounce it.
It's called being polite, mate, yeah? Look, this is Beans, Beans, Beans. The Fulham Show has begun. I haven't seen you for 2 weeks. Lots to unpack. There have been many games. We know they come thick and fast in the Championship. We're going to be looking closer at the last two games, the Southampton and the Nottingham Forest one on the weekend. The disappointing defeat in both those games. We're going to be talking those. We're going to be looking to Friday night's game against Cardiff. I just looked at Huddersfield, which is wrong on the running order. It is Cardiff. Another Friday night game. The Friday night lights for Fulham strike again on TV, though, once again. Big club, as Dom says.
Huge.
They have to be shown on the Friday night TV box. Of course, we're going to be looking at that. And we'll also, as always, be doing your listener questions and the questions that you have tweeted in. We're going to be talking all about those. But we have to start with the Southampton game. And it is, of course, the three-word reviews from Dom.
Yeah, we'll start off with the Southampton. We've got two sets of three-word reviews, because obviously with two games today.
Double bubble.
We'll start with the game from the Saints lost last night.
And then we'll do Cudderfield.
Yeah, Cudderfield, yeah. we had Sign Up Junior by Fulhamato last night. Saints LaMarchand after Maxi LaMarchand's just desire to give the ball away at every opportunity in the second half. That was from Mark Mandel. We had Incredibly Moist Squib from Ross McSweeney. Rodak starts Friday from Chris Smith. And Couldn't Care About Less from Matt Bragg.
Oh, well, there you go.
What was your favourite one, Charlie, mate?
Couldn't care less, but not because I couldn't care less, but I was quite surprised at that because it was quite different to all the others. It's just it's a strongly worded three-word review. Why couldn't they care less?
Why would you care? I mean,
well, they cared enough to do the review, so they cared a little bit.
It's only three words, mate, isn't it?
Three words.
Although you probably spent about half hour thinking about it, didn't they?
Well, there you go. Let's do the three-word reviews for the other game then.
So for the Forest, we had 11 against 12 from Alex or Pure Power. Champagne on Ice, Magic Mod or Ben Taylor. Championship going to Championship from Josh Whitcomb. Smash and Grab End from Ollie or Wask FFC. And Knockouts, Appalling Crosses from Jack Wineski. But yeah, on to the Southampton game.
Onto the Southampton game. I'm going to take it a little bit back. Let's talk about the Forest game first, because that was the game you played before Southampton. You was on, you know, sort of you bounced back in the Championship. You had that disappointing defeat to Barnsley. You come back, you know, you had almost 5 million percent possession against Millwall. I'm not sure if Millwall even turned up or they touched the ball. You did score 4 goals, you know, made mincemeat of that derby, even though Dom assures me it's not a London derby, but you did beat your London rivals there. It was all going well for Fulham. Everyone was singing the praises, attacking football. It was the first time we saw that front three. Tony Knockers was on absolute fire. And then it all went wrong. You played Forest, who have been indifferent themselves this year. Let's talk about that game then, George, because Fulham, it almost seemed like they hurt themselves rather than Forest doing the damage. And it was actually in both games, the Southampton one and the Forest one, where Fulham, they're just giving the ball away far too cheaply, causing their own problems, trying to play out from the back. And this is when other teams are capitalising, aren't they?
Yeah, what was your classic smash and grab, destroy and exit, whatever you want to call it. It seems as if tactically Nottingham Forest had prepared very, very well. Sort of broke down our play. Classic sort of time wasting when they got that second goal. But as Dob said on the pod the other day, if we score, if we equalise, then we win that game.
I don't think it's even if we equalise. I think if they just don't score in the first 5 minutes, we'll go on to win that game, because that totally changes your game plan. And
well, the game plan goes out the window if you concede in 4 minutes.
Yeah, and if you it is a very good goal, as you know, Twitter been pointing out from Nottingham Forest. But if you look at the goal, when the ball gets over to our right hand side, knockout on Session on nowhere near the wide Forest player out wide left for them. And I just don't understand what there was no pressing. He like they're both inside the box, and he's got the entire free going of that wing. And I don't understand why he had so much space. And yes, it was, you could say maybe it was sort of lack concentration in the first 5 minutes of the game, but there's plenty of chances for Joe Lolley to get challenged in that. It reminded me of the Eric Lamella goal for Spurs away last year, where he could have been taken out about four times, and for some reason it was the first time Johansson hasn't absolutely cleaned someone out, as we'll talk about in this when we're looking at back the Southampton game. But yeah, I think it was just, you know, once they got an early goal, it completely destroyed our game plan. But anything I'm worrying about now is that, what, do we know what to do when we go behind? Because both times we've gone behind the season, we've ended up losing the game.
Well, it's key that you mention that, because George mentioned that Forest almost had Fulham's number. You know, they were tactically aware, they were prepared. And then you're saying you don't know what to do when you get behind. Is that on Scott Parker? Are we saying that he should be ready for these, that when teams, they know what they're doing? Almost like Scott Parker was at fault in the tactical stakes.
But it almost goes back to the previous season when we were in the Championship. We didn't have a plan B. We're sticking to the plan, and we don't really know what to do. It's just repeat and hope it works. I don't think the game was all that different from the Millwall game, only that the opposition played a little bit better and they got the early goal. Then they just sat back and they were happy to defend their lead. We only created maybe four big chances in the Millwall game, and like we had very few in Forest.
I think it was 11 shots, 7 on target. As much as I think expected goals is a load of rubbish, it said, I think, 1.9 compared to 0.7, which would, you know, basically a 2-1 win or a 1-0 win there. So, yeah, I think that we aren't creating loads and loads of chances. If you look at Southampton last night, they created a lot of chances. We're not creating loads each game. I think we're getting the ball in the right areas, but we're not creating those chances. If we look at the Forest game, I think we didn't play badly, but we didn't create enough chances on goal, if that makes perfect sense. Like, we weren't playing badly, we just couldn't get the ball into the right position. Like, if you look at our goal that Mitrovic then scores, it isn't a great cross from Kamara and a great finish from Mitrovic. It's Kamara putting the ball in a semi-OK area, Mitrovic swinging a leg at it, and it goes in the goal.
That was a good finish.
But the interesting thing about that was probably one of the only crosses that came in that wasn't up in the air. It was kind of like a bobbled shot along the ground, kind of classic
Kamara shot,
and then just Mitrovic stuck a leg out.
Hopefully, or George has a great finish.
Yeah. Wow. They all can't. They all can't. You mentioned then that plan A, and if plan A goes a missing, then there's no plan B. Is that just because the belief you have in your own potential and your own ability, or is that a little bit of arrogance not to have a plan B when a team offers something else?
I don't know. Maybe there's more to come. I listened to an interview with Harry Arter, and he identified that they already know that their work off the ball, they weren't pressing enough, and that they weren't getting into the right spaces to defend. So Scott's probably said that to them. Maybe that's something that they're going to work on. I don't know what the plan B is, though, at the moment. It just seems to pass them to death.
It seems like we're not like Man City, but I think Pep Guardiola famously said, if plan A is not working, don't have plan B, try plan A harder. Because we're just going to keep sort of just pushing it, hoping something's going to happen. It didn't happen against Blackburn, it didn't happen against Forest, sorry. So, I don't know. I think if you're looking at options off the bench, there's depth there now, but there isn't anything different to what we've got. I think you could say maybe Bobby Reid is the only thing that's different to what's already on the pitch, and no one really knows what his best position is. Obviously, we'll get into the Southampton game later, but he didn't look great up front on his own last night, so maybe his best position is working off Mitrovic if we are going to change it up. But yeah, I think that, I'm not saying we need to be more direct, but if you're looking at, because we were trying to get the ball in attacking areas, but it was just the crossing, which was absolutely diabolical. I mean, Knockart was like just kept trying the same cross, which wasn't.
Who?
I'll give him his phone because he wasn't very good. he kept putting the ball, he kept getting blocked, and he kept trying it, and he was getting really angry with himself. And I'm just like, try something different if it's not going to get into the box. I just didn't understand what a crossing was. Then, you know, we ended the formation we sort of ended the game with, which was like a 3-2-3. two, I guess. You know, Abukar Kamara and Tony Knockers, there you go, playing the wing-back roles. I just didn't have a clue, really, what was going on. And it's like Scott Parker, when he's not working, wants to change his tactics. It reminds me of someone playing Football Manager. Like, right, get all the attacking players on, put them in the formation which they can remotely play. And then if you look at the Blackburn game, as soon as we get the second goal, oh, we'll bring on Maxine Lamarchand. Well, if you bring on Maxine Lamarchand as last night showed, that's not a good idea.
You know where he's going wrong? He's doing all the subs, but he isn't doing the aggressively shat, like attack, which you could be doing from the
side. He wasn't doing player instructions, was he, mate?
Yeah. That's what I mean. He's got the cardigan on, so he's feeling like Guardiola, you know, stick to plan A, do it harder, but he's not doing the shouting. He's missing the important FM ingredient. But Dom, you just mentioned there that, you know, we're having a lot of possession, but we're not creating a lot of chances. Isn't that worrying if you are having all this possession, but you're not creating chances?
I think that you got to look at it in context of there is quite a few new players in this side. It is Scott Parker's first professional job. We're not even into the first international break yet. We've still got one more game. And, you know, we are in fourth or fifth place. We are in the playoff position. As you said, we'd be in this position coming towards the end of August. I think most Fulham fans would have taken it because we didn't know what to expect, especially after that Barnsley game as well. So I think it's fine. Obviously, we could be doing better, but it's August. There's no point in worrying. I mean, the only point in worrying is if you lose your first five games like we did last time. But I think that, yeah, I'm not too bothered. It's just annoying because, again, I don't think we played badly against Forest. I just think we got, you know, smash and grabbed, I think is what they were calling it.
Smash and grabbed.
And then,
I love it.
And then, obviously, yeah, I said, if we do not concede a goal in the first five or in the first 10 minutes even, that I think, you know, we'd be perfectly fine.
I think we're a long way off the business end of the season. I think Scott Parker's still working out which formation, what tactic. He's developing our style is developing. We're still embedding in our signings over the summer. I think we're going to see a lot more kind of altercations of what's happening at the moment, but no cause for concern, in my opinion, as of yet.
Obviously, Fulham, the ability they have, and, you know, they're favourites for the league. We know what they're like going forward. You expect them to win every game, really, anyone you're going to face in the Championship, especially when you're at home. Is it annoying, even though, George, you say we're not at the business end of the season, to drop points at home to Fulham? Because if you're going to win any games, it's going to be your home games. Was it a little bit annoying because you was just starting to make it up after losing that first game? Did that feel frustrating for you?
Yeah, no, of course. And I think it's more of a curse than a blessing to be favourites. Favourites of this league, if I'm perfectly honest. But to your point, saying it's frustrating to drop points at home, I think we're going to pick up more points away from home than we are at home this season. Just the way that we set up, we saw it at Nottingham Forest, teams are going to set up like if we give them, and we just need to get behind them, stop them getting in behind us. And I think that when we go away, teams are going to be more kind of pressing and wanting to win, and we're going to catch goals on the counter. So I think that's what's going to happen this year.
Why can we see sort of a Jekyll and Hyde Fulham? The Fulham that has the 90% possession, wins 4-0 against Millwall, and then the team that just make a silly mistake, go 1-0 down to Forest in 4 minutes, and then they just can't get themselves back in the game to the 83rd minute.
It's just the type of football that we play. Like, even I was looking back at the highlights of the Millwall game, and there was some of the passes between Ream and Mawson, and they're just very flat across. If they had been pressing us in any way, shape or form, it could have been like against what happened at Nottingham Forest. Like, us just getting caught in possession and a silly goal against the run of play, given away. And that's exactly what we did last year, all the time in the Premier League. Just silly goals, giving away possession, making defensive mistakes.
Well, there's a lot of time when we can see goals that, even over the last three seasons in general, obviously Premier League was different because it got the quality there, but often in, you know, both playoff campaigns and this season so far, a lot of the goals we concede is usually our own fault. They're not down to individual brilliance from the opposition.
How frustrating is that for the fans? Because I'm watching it and I'm just seeing that's Fulham's fault again. And it's not that I'm trying to do the teams you're playing a disservice, but I feel like Fulham are shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, we're going to talk about the Southampton game, but their chances, not the ones that they scored, it was Fulham trying to play it from the back and losing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be just a reoccurring problem with us. I mean, I don't think we've had a solid defence ever since Roy Hodgson really left the club in 2010. So I think that, yeah, I think it is, as we said in quite a few times this season, if we are going to win games and we are going to win the league or gain automatic promotion, it is simply the fact we're going to have to outscore the opposition as opposed to getting a 2-0 win or a 1-0 win. I think it's like, if you score one, we'll score three, you score two, we'll score four. I just, the way we play, I think that's the only way we're going to win games.
Fighting fire with fire. It could make for an exciting season, but there will be some frustrating results along the way. We were just talking about the Nottingham Forest game. Next, we're going to look at last night's League Cup action.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
We're not Barcelona. We're not Real Madrid. We are Fulham. You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a Fulhamish podcast, Dom, George and Dara. We are talking all things Fulham, especially the last two games. We're going to be doing listeners' questions, free word reviews and, of course, looking at this Friday's game against Cardiff. But just very quickly, there is the League Cup second round going on tonight. A few games in action. Obviously, a lot of the ties were played last night, but just a quick score update there. Portsmouth have just taken the lead. They are playing QPR. It is 1-0 to Portsmouth. Bournemouth are drawing 0-0 with Forest Green. Burnley, the Premiership boys, are losing to Sunderland 3-1. Burnley are at home. What a game it is between Lincoln and Everton. It is 2-2 there. Newcastle are drawing with Leicester. The All Premier League clash. Rotherham and Sheffield Wednesday is 0-0. And Swansea versus Cambridge, well, it's a really tight affair there. It's Swansea 5, Cambridge 0. Let's now look towards the Southampton game last night, because Fulham were in the League Cup action themselves. You did lose 1-0 to the Saints, but we spoke about this a bit before. You know, we know Fulham this year is all about concentrating on the Championship. We know you want to bounce back to the Premier League. A cup run maybe isn't, you know, on the agenda. You don't really care about it that much. Not to do a disservice to the cups or lack respect to the cups, but you are concentrating on the Championship. That was reflected in the side you put out last night. But you did have, again, 60% possession to Southampton, although they've come away with a winner. I'll start with George. A, did you want to win that tie and progress? And B, what did you think of the Fulham performance?
I think you got to want to win every game, but to nick that three-word review, couldn't care less. Like, genuinely, not fast.
I'm really glad I asked you, George.
I think that cup runs, generally speaking, are... I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want to, as you said, give the cup any sort of
disservice.
No, not a hindrance. I think if you've got bigger intentions that season, then they're going to come second fiddle. Like, if you're a mid-table team, you're not really... You know, you might be in with a shout of... You know, if you're almost certain to come mid-table, then yeah, go for it, throw everything out. If it's going to be the highlight of your season, then of course, you know, chuck everything at it. But for me, I really wasn't bothered. I wouldn't say that I'm relieved that we didn't go through, but at the same time, I'm certainly not fussed.
I must be fair to you boys, because this is an opinion that you have said before the game, rather than just being bitter after losing last night. Dom did just say this, you know, obviously spoke to Dom before the game, and he said, not in a bad way, but, you know, I'd prefer us not to win tonight. I want to play well. I mean, if we win, it's a bonus, but we are concentrating on the Championship, and that's only fair, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's a big game at the weekend against Cardiff, so that was obviously the priority. I was interested to see some of the players that started, but when I saw the Southampton lineup, it was pretty decent squad.
Very strong. Yeah, strong.
I didn't have any expectation, really. There's a few interesting points from the night. Rodak played pretty well, made some great saves in the second half, particularly to keep it at 1-0. I don't know how we didn't lose more. McDonald played centre-back, which was interesting. He was barking orders out all night. Pretty assured.
I thought
O'Reilly did all right. He didn't give the ball away too much, but there wasn't much else. We just didn't really have anything going forward. It was kind of like balls up the wing to Kamara and try to get in behind him.
Yeah, we were obviously definitely a lot better in the first half, I thought. You know, there were sort of two main chances.
Is that because you was only at the first half, Dom?
No,
and
I went to the pub. No, I did go back to the second half. I mean, I was questioning, like, why am I here for the entire 90 minutes? But I think that in the first half, obviously, there was the Bobby Reid free kick and then the Cyrus Christie header resulting from the save, which obviously the goalkeeper tipped over the bar. And then obviously there was the Luca Della Torre, who did very well to get in on Joel, and then he obviously just hit the ball wide. But yeah, like, I'm not that bothered. I mean, I don't really care that we got knocked out, because, you know, let's say you enter the first round of Carabao Cup and then you win, you play the second round game. That, including the league games in August, thankfully we entered in this round, but that's 7 games in 1 month, which is just ludicrous. Mm. I know this because the season started on the 3rd of August, but it just adds games into our calendar we don't need. Yeah. I said it multiple times. I think I said it on the podcast on Monday that, for me, the Carabao Cup, I couldn't care less this season unless we reach the final or get a two-legged semi-final against Chelsea. Like, apart from that, I'm not bothered by it, because then it's just a distraction. You saw that with Bristol City when they ended up, you know, playing, you know, Man United, Man City, that, you know, it derailed their promotion campaign.
Well, look at Watford. Their hangover's still continuing in the Premier League, and they had that cup run to the FA Cup final, didn't
they?
Yeah,
but it was nice to see, and it's seen tonight as well, with Newcastle, Leicester and Southampton, teams who I probably think will stay up, that they're playing their first team. But, you know, I don't know how they didn't score more. You know, there were so many chances in that second half. And the amount of times that, LaMarchand was basically just assisting all their chances by just giving the ball to them. Like, there was one which I think they just rode out a save where I think my Marshall's got the ball and it's on the edge of our box and he just pings it across our own box, sort of diagonally across. And I was like, just get the ball out. And, yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at players who impressed last night, obviously that's a question we've asked on Instagram tonight and obviously we'll get to the answers later. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought Matt Riley, as you said, you know, he wasn't giving the ball away, but I don't think he was doing anything extraordinary.
He sprayed a lovely ball out in the first half towards Kamara, who just couldn't quite get on the end of it.
Well, how many times have we said that about ball into Kamara?
His pass success rate was 92%, so that was the best of
that's
any Fulham player.
That I love. That's research.
And then if you look, Bobby Reid obviously came in, played up front on his own. I don't think that's his position for us. No, I think if he's going to play, it's going to have to be in behind Mitrovic because he was very, very isolated, probably due to have Kamara one side of him. But, you know, De La Torre, I just don't think it's going to happen for him. He's been in and out of cup games for a few years now, and he's getting to that age where he needs to be playing first-team football week in, week out. You look at Josh Onnemar, I thought he was okay.
Pleased to see him start?
I wanted to see him start. I wanted to see Reece, see what they offer, because they're players you see me more first-team options, but I didn't really see anything that impressed me too badly. Christie, again, with Steven Sessions taking his place, he thought he might want to prove something. I didn't think he was that good either. I think the only player who sort of came in and was like, oh, he changed it or he looked good was obviously Marek Rodak, who's been, you know, people have been calling for Bettinelli to be dropped because I think he's letting half the shots been put against him, but we hardly concede any shots. So that's something you've got to take into account. But I do think he could have done better, let's say, at the goal, I think grabbing second on Forest, where he's in the middle of the goal and Gramner smashes it in the near post. So, yeah, I'm not that bothered by it. Again, it is, as I said, it's just an unneeded distraction, and you know, it we're lucky it was only 1-0 because it could have easily been 3 or 4-0 last night. But I think one point we need to note is we saw the most Stefan Johansson challenge I think we've ever seen at the beginning of that second half, where he just absolutely clatters. I can't remember who it was, but for no reason whatsoever. I'm like, it's a cup game, like there's no need to do that. But yeah, I mean, I'm not bothered by it because, I mean, it just adds unnecessary fixtures into the schedule, and it means because I'm on the cup scheme, it auto buys me my ticket, so I don't need to waste another 15 quid if we get another drab home game. So yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, you know, we can just focus on the league.
Focus on the league. Well, you mentioned there that youngsters did get a chance, and that was maybe what the night was about. That was the huge positive. Scott Parker did say he was pleased to get those players involved, give them some game time. And, you know, the team was much changed, so we know the Championship is the focus. But, George, were you pleased to see the youngsters getting a chance? And from those youngsters, could any of them step into what is Fulham's first 11?
Yeah, no, of course. It's always fantastic to see the young players get a shout. And I think that's one of... If you want to take any negatives from getting knocked out of the cup, that is one of them, because it means that there's going to potentially be less opportunity for them to get involved. I thought, from what I saw, I thought De La Torre looked lively. I mean, I wasn't actually at the game, I must concede, but he had a very, very good chance where he sort of threw off about three Southampton defenders and then managed to get a shot off. I thought he looked good, and Onnemar seemed like he had a solid performance. Matt O'Riley as well, who's, I think... We're going to see more and more of him as the season goes on. He got the Fulhamish man of the match, didn't he? I think 7.4.
It was between him and Marek Rodak probably. But yeah, now O'Riley. So he's on the last, was it three pre-season tours with the club, and you know he's been touted to be good for so long now. You know he's been touted by Dortmund, United, PSG, City. All these clubs have been linked with him. So there's definitely talent with him. And I think unlike some of the other youngsters, he's actually got the physicality about him. Like, he is like 6'2". He isn't like this small, weak player in the centre midfield. I think he could hold his own in the Premier League. And I would like to see him. I've said it over the last year or two. I'd like to see him get his chance, or just get more minutes in the centre of the park. Because I think, you know, if we want to bring on another midfielder who maybe not Johansson or Onnemar is going to go box to box and run around everywhere, but can actually spray the ball around and try and unlock
replacement.
Yeah, like try and lock the defence. Then he could be their option. If, you know, if Kearney's, you know, not fit enough and we need to play, maybe they sit more deep in that midfield as opposed to right behind Mitrovic, as opposed to some more of a 4-3-3 than the 4-4-1-1, then yeah, I don't see why not. And yeah, so for me, you know, it was also good to see Ben Davis and Tyrese Francois come off the bench. And, you know, can't talk about the game without the, Junior, the flag waver, over in the Riverside stand, because that was the only thing that was keeping the game remotely interesting.
We want to get him on. If anyone, any listeners know the guy's name, knows any of his details, get in touch with us, because we
tweet us. You can call us at Lovesport, tweet us at Lovesport Radio, call us on 0208 70 2558. We need to get him on. Beans, beans, beans. There's no flag waver quite like him. But let's quickly
here
talk
we go.
Now. I mean, if that is, if, I mean, this we've got a call. Quite scarily, I didn't realise we were that powerful, but we are here at the Fulhamish podcast on Love Sport Radio, and this is the power to the people. I mean, I almost want to carry on talking because the adrenaline that's running right through me right now is quite scary because I don't know who is on the line. I'm waiting for my producer to tell me in my ear. But just quickly, Don, we know your thoughts on League Cup progression, and it comes at a really tricky time because it comes in August when you have played 6 championship games. It will be the 7th game in that month. It's in a midweek. You're focused already on the weekend. This time you're playing on a Friday, so that's not ideal. So we know your thoughts on that cup. It's quite a way off. But when it comes to the FA Cup, are you taking the same view? Once again, let's focus on the league. The championship's the priority, or is the FA Cup, is that totally a different kettle of fish?
I think it's different because it's on a Saturday. It's you know, the League Cup's on a Tuesday. It's in between two games, whereas the FA Cup isn't between two games, if that makes sense. It's just another Saturday, so you're not getting any less rest than you was as opposed to a different game. So for me, FA Cup, I'm totally fine for us to progress through. I don't, because, you know, it's just going to be playing on a Saturday. Yes, when you get to the later rounds, it means your league games will be rescheduled. But yeah, League Cup, I think it should, the teams who should take this seriously is basically any team in the Premier League. I don't understand why they don't take this seriously. You know, we're seeing on our screens now Newcastle versus Leicester. Two teams for me, I don't. Okay, Newcastle could go down, but Leicester, I understand they're trying to challenge for the top six. But, you know, are you going to remember, if they don't and finish eighth, you're going to regret, you know, not going in the cup. I think they regretted last season when they played their reserves against Man City and nearly won the game. So if they played the first team in the game, they probably could have done that. So, yeah, I don't understand why more teams don't take it seriously. You know, I don't know what, when Fulham was stable in the Premier League, why we didn't. You know, we obviously with the semi final against Chelsea, but. I mean, yeah, for me, it's time. We had focus on the league because, you know, if we don't get promoted this season, we've got a lot of players who are on new contracts, like Mitrovic and Kearney, who we just simply need to get promoted this season. And I think as much as every Fulham fan would love a cup run, I think the league just has to be about the priority this year.
George, Darragh, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Yeah, George?
Likewise, I would say.
Well, that's easy then, isn't it? Right, next, we are looking towards the Friday night game. You're playing Cardiff. I was going to do it there for jokes, but no, the novelty's worn off. You are playing Cardiff. It's another Friday night game. We're going to be talking to Scott Salter, View from the Ninan, here on Love Sport Radio.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a Fulhamish podcast, Dom, George and Dara. And of course, it is time for the opposition view. I'm delighted to say we are now joined on the phone by Scott Salter to give us the Cardiff opposition view. Scott, thank you so much for giving us a bit of your time. We appreciate that. Massive game this Friday night. Fulham versus Cardiff. Two teams that relegated from the Premier League now facing off. It's been a hectic start to the Championship. A bit of indifferent form from both. But what can you expect and what can Fulham expect from the game this Friday?
I think it's going to be a fiery game. I think lately, in the last couple of seasons, the games between Cardiff and Fulham have been anyway. There's a bit of a kind of modern rivalry has developed, at least for Cardiff fans anyway. You know, in the Championship season, the complete opposing styles of Ivanovic and Warnock, and then obviously now the kind of Bobby Reid transfer as well. So there's always going to be that bit of spice, but Cardiff have been really, really bad form at the start of the season. So they'll be desperate to put it right. So hopefully they'll come out organs blazing against Fulham on Friday.
Obviously, I wouldn't say it's gone particularly wrong, but what do you think has been down to the slow start to the season so far?
It's hard to say, really. We didn't have the best transfer window. It wasn't awful. It didn't end as we wanted. Obviously, with Bobby going to Fulham, kind of a last-minute decision from him, so it seemed. But so the transfers are kind of unsettled, but it's just not seemed like a Neil Warnock side. You know, we're never going to dominate possession. We're never going to be on the front foot all the time. But what you expect from a Neil Warnock side and what Cardiff fans have come to expect from him as manager is a team that gives its all, that's fighting till the death and is, you know, really in the opposition face as much as possible. We've just not seen that. It's been a bit placid at times. The quality's not been there and it's been, you know, a disappointing start. We've just not managed to threaten enough or keep the goals out.
Obviously, you spoke about the rivalry previously that sort of occurred in the promotion season for both of us. What do you think really the rivalry is down to? Is it just a different styles of play, or was there something else sort of that Cardiff fans found annoying about Fulham in general?
Well, I don't know how it's perceived in kind of the Fulham end. I think a few Cardiff fans felt that some Fulham fans felt a bit entitled that they deserved to go up before us, ahead of us, or, you know, playing better football. So I think that kind of fueled it a bit. You know, obviously we did finish second, and you know, I don't think anyone could lie that we didn't deserve it. But opposing styles, you know, Warnock rubs sides up the wrong way anyway. People don't like Warnock, so yeah, I think that. And then obviously the going into the Premier League, the complete kind of composing strategies going into the season of Fulham spending big, kind of big name players. Cardiff were a lot more conservative, tried to spend within my means, and obviously it didn't go well for either side as we're both back in the Championship now. But it's going to be interesting to see if that rivalry is still there this year.
Obviously, we looked at the game last season. It's when you absolutely tore us apart. Was it 4-2? I think we scored with an Andre Schürrle screamer, and obviously Ryan Sessegnon scored. So what are you expecting from Fulham or going into the game? Are you expecting us, because obviously we have spoke before on the show about we think we actually do better away from home because you know teams will come on to us. Do you think Cardiff will let Fulham have the ball? Do you think they will be going trying to have the ball as much as they can and trying to attack us?
Oh no, we'll let Fulham have the ball 100%. I mean, it's Neil Warnock's style anyway. It seems to have been even more this season that teams are dominating possession. I mean, we played Luton in the cup in midweek and lost 3-0, and Luton fans were olleying their passes by, you know, the 70th, 80th minute, and you know, a ridiculous amount of possession. I think the nature of both sides is that Fulham will dominate the play. Cardiff will look to hit them on the counter and try and grab some goals. We've got a bit of pace in attack. Obviously, Josh Murphy can be dangerous. New striker Robert Glatzel still yet to get a goal, but he's a big man, but he's got a little bit about him. So I think that's how we'll try and, you know, get at Fulham. But no, I definitely expect you guys to dominate possession and, you know, really will camp in our own half looking to break out.
Scott, you mentioned the cup game last night. You did lose 3-0 to Luton. We spoke earlier on this show about Fulham. They also lost to Southampton, but they weren't really bothered about the result because they are concentrating on the Championship. They're trying to get back to the Premier League. Was that the same for Cardiff? What type of team did you field? Were you trying to win that game and progress in the cup, or is it strictly all eyes on the Championship?
And there's been quite a bit of debate with Cardiff fans today and obviously after the game last night. In the last few years, as Warnock, we've not put out good in cups. It's not like it's been a priority. Like it was a second string side, but it would have been, you know, side and but did enough to beat Luton. The Cardiff kind of official social media account angered a couple of fans when they put out an Instagram story that said a youthful Bluebirds side went out to Luton when in reality there's only two young players in there. You know, we had the likes of Aidan Flint in there, Omar Bogle, Karen Patterson, Will Vokes. You know, these are players that should be beaten, no disrespect to Luton, but, you know, even their second string side too. It wasn't a priority, but because of how bad we started the season, I think it was a chance to, you know, get some goals, get a bit of confidence going into obviously Friday's game. But Warnock's already kind of written it off and said that the focus is on Friday. So that disappointed a few fans. Like I said, it was a chance to build some confidence after a bad start to the season.
Scott, we know that in Fulham's eyes, they have to bounce back. They've spent the money. They want to get back to the Premier League. Obviously, Cardiff do. But is that the expectation, or would they settle maybe for just playoffs? They just want to find their feet again after coming down, or do they see themselves that they have to bounce back straight away as well?
I think there's less of a need compared to Fulham. Obviously, Fulham's nature of the big spending last summer is kind of a need financially, I guess, to go back more than us. The squad, the quality in the squad that we had means that I think we should be challenging to go back up, and that definitely is the expectation amongst the fans, and the, you know, the players have spoken about the desire to get back up there. Obviously, that changed slightly, I think, with the start of the season that we've had, but I think that's still the goal. I mean, you know, there was a lot of talk of whether Warnock should stay or not, but the reason for keeping him largely was there's no one better in many fans' opinions to get us back into the Premier League. So that's got to be the game this season.
Well, bearing in mind that you are on the Fulham fan show, Scott, it is now time for your score prediction. What are you predicting for this Friday night?
I'm usually quite an optimistic person, but we've had a really bad run, and I think that Fulham have got quite a lot of quality, so I'm not feeling too good about this one. I'm going to go very pessimistic and go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. Scott, we really appreciate you coming on and giving us some of your time. Scott Salter there to give us the Cardiff opposition view ahead of Friday night's game. I now have to turn my attention to the Fulhamish boys in the studio. Dom, I will start with you. What is your prediction for the Friday night game, as I know you're going as well?
Yeah, it's a weird one because we don't have the greatest record going away to Cardiff. I think, obviously, we won there in the season. We went up 3-1, or I think it may have been, or 4-2. I can't quite remember. I remember we getting quite a late goal from Johansson to secure the victory, so I think it might have been 4-2.
Yep.
So, yeah, for me, I'm going to say 2-1 Fulham, but that's just me being optimistic for once.
Okay. Darryl?
Yeah, I'll go with 2-1 as well, and I'll go a little bit further and use some mystic megs and say that Cardiff will concede a penalty. We've already conceded two.
I like it. I like it. I do like a little bit further. George, can you go even further? What is your score prediction?
I'm gonna say 3-0 to Fulham.
3-0 to Fulham. Clean sheet as well.
I do. Yeah, I think that. I think Cardiff looked pretty toothless this year, so that's what I'm going for.
Oh, he's handing it to Fulham there, but it's a unanimous on the panel. Fulham win. I'm going to complete the panel and say Fulham win. Friday night again, you went up against Huddersfield, you got the win. I think Fulham bounced back after those two defeats. I do think they beat Cardiff. They have looked a little bit toothless, like George said. Next, it's time for one of the favourite bits of the show. It is time for the listener questions and the Instagram questions.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. This is the Fulham Fan Show, the one and only with the Fulhamish podcast and me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Dom, George and Dara. We, of course, been talking the game on Friday night against Cardiff. We had a little look, a review of the Southampton game and the Forest game. But it is now time for listeners' questions. I've got the questions in my hand. You three ready at the answers. The first question. Should we sign Jack Leach and play him at centre-back after his defensive masterclass for England yesterday? And that question is from Ashley. I'll start with Dom.
Mate, get him and K-Mac as our back two, mate. It'll be in clean sheets every week. You know, Jack Leach, you know, that was one of my favourite cricketing innings of all time. It was just, you know, one run out of 72-run partnership. You'd love to see it. Brilliant from Jack Leach. But, you know,
that equal to? One goal in 46 games for Fulham?
I'll take that. Get him in. Get him down from Somerset, back up to London, and get him in the team.
He just looked so like nervous. It looked like he was just, you know, you could just see the fear in his eyes. And when he was like demissing his glasses.
There's not a better image, is there? That the fact he didn't have contact lenses in, he was wearing glasses. Then he just was getting out that little cloth to give him a wipe in one of the most important Test matches in history. He's just like, hang on, I'm just going to give these a quick smudge. And I was waiting for him to do the old breath, just give him a little shine. It was brilliant, weren't it?
But yeah, get him in.
Get him in. Jack Leach for Fulham. All right, next question. Are we making our wingers do too much? Defenders aren't going to step off Cav if he doesn't use Brian's overlapping run at least once, which he keeps failing to do. George?
I think...
Okay, Dom.
I'm going to take this over from Coop.
Right, Dom, you answer this.
No, I'll take it over from Coop. It's fine. I think it's not our wingers. Maybe they're doing too much, but I think the fullbacks need to offer more on the overlap, as he's mentioned. I think that's the problem. They get the ball and then it's just them trying to find Mitrovic or them trying to get into the box. I don't know if you feel the same, that maybe our wingbacks could get further forward and offer them an overlap.
Yeah, I do. However, I think, to me, it looks like that's the way we've been set up defensively. They've been almost told not to push forward so that we get caught on the break. But no, I agree. I would like to see it more. And that was a massive, massive sort of tool in our arsenal that we had the year that we went up. Mm. I'd like to see it more, but as I said, I genuinely believe that they've been told not to do it as just defensive sort of surety.
Darryl, do you agree with these two?
Yeah, I think we did see it in one of the previous games. We saw Sessegnon and Brian getting a little bit further forward, so it probably depends on the opposition, but definitely, like the year we got promoted, Target and Fredericks were key in just cutting teams open and getting in behind them. So yeah, I'd like to see more of that.
But I don't know if our wingers are working too hard, though.
I think they're just overworking the ball.
I don't know, unless you're quoting Guy Berlow and calling him not got a passion merchant.
Classic.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're trying too hard, because I don't really see Cavalier trying in the first place. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't try, but like he isn't in games. He isn't influencing games by him playing 9 out of 10. He scores the important goals for us, but I don't think... I know he was good against Millwall, but like if you look at Huddersfield game, sort of, he didn't really do anything in the game until he scored that goal, and then he somehow won Sky Man the match. I don't know how that happened, but...
Should he be influencing games? Sorry, Dom, just to interrupt you there.
He's influencing games by scoring the goals, which is perfect.
No, but more by his play. Let's take the goals out of the equation.
I think he could, but then I think if you're a player of his quality who can do what he does by, you know, winning games with his goals, then I'm fine with that. But then it just needs to work. I think what it is these wingers need to build a relationship with their corresponding fullback, and then when they do, then we'll see the improvement going forward. But yeah, I don't think there's anything to really worry about at the moment.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time, as Jules said. We're not at the business end of the season just yet. This is my favourite question, and I want all three of you to answer it. Do you think Saturday showed why Tony Knockers, TC, Cav and Mitro aren't necessarily quite Premier League quality? You can hardly say that any of them played badly. It just feels like they had no end product. If we're wasting... If we're wasting our crossing and shooting chances like this, then, you know, if we are countered by Prem teams, we will get absolutely smashed. Dara, I'll start with you. What do you make of that?
Yeah, the crosses definitely weren't good. We had 45 in total in the game and only 10 of them actually reached their intended target. So there's improvement needed there. I mean, as we said in the previous question, these are some new players. I think it's Knockers, isn't it? That's taken the majority of the free kicks and penalties. Or... corners, so
yeah, Knockers.
If he can just find Mitrovic, maybe he needs to develop a little bit of more.
Is he
of
the man that should be on set pieces?
Well, that's a good question. Harry Arthur can take them as well.
Yeah, I was wondering, because he seems to be on everything. I was like, I don't know if Tony Knockers is the man for all set pieces. Don, what do you think?
No, I don't think he is. I mean, but then, you know, when was the last time? I mean, we haven't called Matt, but I don't think we've had a great set piece taker since McCormack. I know we've seen him, so we've seen like the likes of Kenny and Johansson score free kicks, but.
Bollard.
What a legend. Jimmy B, what a freak.
I think that, you know, with set pieces, for me now, everyone expects it, that it's like, everyone when you get a corner, let's say, everyone's like really applauding, but, you know, it's about keeping the ball.
It's a short corner.
It's a short corner and finding someone else to get the ball into the box. So I don't think worrying about set piece takers too much of a big deal for us, because I think we create enough chances with the ball in open play that, you know, set pieces is something maybe we could work on, because we don't maybe create enough chances from them.
George, what do you think?
I think, as I say, we just need time to click. I think it's a bit harsh to sort of disregard them as not being Premier League quality. I personally wouldn't agree with that. I think there is huge quality there, and, you know, any team in the league would bite your hand off of that.
I think you're right. I think that's very harsh on those players, you know, not to say Premier League quality. For one reason or another, it hasn't worked out with certain other teams, but we know of their quality and they can do it. You know, sometimes you're just in a bad team that year. Doesn't mean you're not Premier League quality. Yeah. But the flip side...
Well, like, Mitrovic scored, 10 goals? How many did Rashford score? Like, probably the same.
Yeah. So... It's a hard argument, especially when you are basing it on stats. But is there a thing, the flip side of that, is that you're better than Championship quality, but you're not Premier League quality? But there is a middle ground, isn't it? You know, sometimes you're sort of, you've outgrown the Championship, but you just can't quite cut it in the Premier League. George, you're laughing.
I think we've talked about this, but it's a position to be. Like, we wish that we could stay in the Championship, win it, but not have to go up.
Like, I know Dom certainly feels like that.
That would be the ideal situation, because I think like... For me anyway, as a Fulham fan, I've kind of reached my... I feel like we will be a struggling Premier League team or a Bossett Championship team for the foreseeable future, unless anything drastic happens. I think the years of 2010 are behind us. I genuinely think that was the best that we could have hoped for.
I think the problem is because of 2010 and Europa League running, it's not just we got to the final, but it's about sort of... who we beat along the way. You know, we had Roma and Basel in the groups. We beat the holders in Shakhtar Donetsk, beat Juventus, beat the German champions in Wolfsburg, beat Hamburg, who were hosting the final in the semis. That, I don't think you can top that, and that's the biggest problem. Because we'll get to Premier League, like, okay, what, finishing 14th in the Premier League, what's good about that? Like, we I think we've seen the best as we will, and that's the biggest problem, is there's nothing, unless we get to a cup final or win a cup final in the league or the FA Cup, I just can't see what's going to top it. And so I think that's the biggest problem.
We're never going to finish 7th again. Like, the top 7 now, you're not going to get anywhere near that. Like,
I don't know. You have to be optimistic.
Like, there we go.
Tony Khan's pumped 100 million in. What's to say that, like, in another couple of years when we go back up, he'll pump more money into it, and
we'll go down again. Because there will be another terrible transfer window.
Ever the optimist. Just quickly then, because we have come on to the last question, but I'm just going to keep you up to date with the League Cup second round. Bournemouth went through on penalties against Forest Green. Sunderland beat Burnley 3-1. They was 1-0 down there. Everton came back against Lincoln 4-2, that result. Newcastle lost on penalties. Jamie Vardy scoring the winning penalty there. It was 1-1 before penalties. QPR lost to Portsmouth 2-0. Sheffield Wednesday beat Rotherham 1-0. And Swansea and Cambridge in that really tight game. Swansea did find another gear and managed to win 6-0 there. Let's go on to the final question then. Should they mix in a long ball and see if Mitro can hold it up and create something rather than always playing out from the back board of it? That is from Justin. George, I will start with you.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Like the
You want to go back to long ball?
Well, I mean, like use it as a an option. So we never do that.
No,
I mean,
I don't want a plan B.
No, it's plan 8.5, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that 0.5. Okay.
I don't want to see I don't want to see Fulham go route one. I'm obviously not saying that, but I mean, we used to use it with Bobby Zamora, didn't we? We used to hold the ball up and then play off him. Mm-hmm. We got pace. We got very technically skilled, quick players that can jump off. I think that Bobby Reid and Mitrovic have the potential to sort of reenact that Andy Johnson, Bobby Zamora partnership that we had. So he had AJ sort of running off either side of him, him holding it up. I think it's something that we should definitely use at some point, and I think we probably will see it at some point.
Well, it's nice, like you said, to have another option in the locker. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? When things aren't working, where was this, you know, the tactical stuff when you are needing an equaliser or chasing goal? There's nothing wrong to go with that. Dom, where do you stand on it all?
Yeah, I don't see the reason why you wouldn't. I mean, it's not like we should be starting from the first minute, but if, you know, it's the 60th minute with 1-0, 2-0 down and we need to get a goal, why are you still playing the ball and faffing about with it at the back? Get the ball up to your front man, and then we got players you can work off him. If you're starting with a starting 11, you've got Cav, you've got Kearney, you've got Knockers. So for me, I don't see why not as an option, because Mitrovic is there to hold the ball up.
Well, that's one of his strengths, so why wouldn't you use it?
Completely agree.
I mean, in the Millwall game, it was actually Caviero and Knockhart who are further forward. Their average positions were further forward than Mitrovic, so possibly he could play that kind of Bobby Firmino role, coming deeper, collecting the ball, and then laying it off on the wingers.
And you've got so many flair players. He's the player, really, to get them involved, isn't he? He should be used as that more.
It's a linchpin.
He's a big guy. He's well able to protect the ball and
mobile as well, though. He's not just a big guy, is he? There is more to him.
He doesn't have much pace. That's the only problem. Mm.
He's agile. All right, well, there was an Instagram question. Unfortunately, we can't get the responses up, but I'll ask you three the question instead and you can give your responses. The question we asked on Instagram was, who impressed you the most last night? So maybe you three can give your opinion. Don, who was it for you?
I mean, everyone will point to Rodak, but I think there's only much you can say about a goalkeeper. I know often, you know, with
what does that mean?
Well, no, there's only so much you can say, oh, he saves it. Well done. Well, but most things that...
Dom, give us your analogy of goalkeepers. Yeah, he saved it, mate. It's great. Yeah, it was a shot and he saved it.
No, but like...
And you see that corner? He caught it. He decided not to punch that one.
Well, no, it's just like, if the ball's at them and they should save it, then they should save it. If they don't save it, it's a mistake. So for me, I'll just go with Matt O'Reilly because I thought...
Every goal scored a mistake by the keeper.
Well, yeah, if he should be saving it, he should be saving it. But I think that... Yeah, for me, Matt O'Reilly, because he was spreading the ball about. You know, we have expected quite a few things from him over a long time now. But yeah, I'd say probably Matt O'Reilly for me.
Dara, who impressed for you?
Yeah, I think Rodak's probably the obvious one to go for, but I'll say K-Mac because I was right beside him in the first half, and he was instructing everybody, even Rodak. He was telling them to punt it away instead of trying to pass it out from the back, and he was trying to marshal Lamarchand and Cyrus and just getting rid of it. He looked like he was just in captain's duties. So,
George?
Dari says it's the obvious choice, but I wasn't actually at the game. I've only watched the highlights, so I'm going to have to... I mean, Rodak looked to me... He looked good.
George didn't want to waste 15 quid to watch it, to be fair.
George, it's all coming out now, right at the end of the show. George, you've got to be careful, because this Fulhamish, they have squad depth, mate. You could find yourself on rotation, I tell you.
Yeah,
it could be a while before you're back in. Just quickly, I just want to ask, 9 points from 5 games.
We got there.
Yeah, we got there in the end. 9 points from 7 games. You're playing Cardiff, who do have 7 points. But would you have taken this after 5 games? Obviously, it's a different story after the Friday night game. 9 points from 5. Are you pleased where you're at?
Yeah, I think it's perfectly fine where we're at. We're still winning amongst it. And if we get the win against Cardiff on Friday, then I think, yeah, it's been a great start to the season, really. You just got to keep it going on. You know, as I said, we're not even in our stride yet, so...
Yeah, 9 points is fine relative to the rest of the table. So I think we're not out of it. We're still in the mix. I'm very happy with that.
Still in the playoff positions. George, make this a good answer because you mucked up on the last one.
Yeah, historically, Fulham have started slow. If you look at the position that we were the year that we went up, we were in a lot worse for wear. But yeah, I'm very happy.
This is the Fulham Fan Show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.